Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer fully hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now part of the VSiN family and podcast. We've got a tremendous podcast for you as we're going to keep it to two parts today, and we're going to be joined by our good friend Riley Davis. He does amazing work over at HeatCheckCBB. He was part of the College Basketball Almanac that was put out about a week and a half ago by HeatCheckCBB, Field of 68, and the three-man weave, previewing all the teams for this upcoming college basketball season. He did the MEAC and the Big South, so we're going to talk a little bit about both of those conferences today. We're going to talk about who should be number 3 in the ACC. As I did my ACC preview a few days ago, I personally went with Florida State. I shall see if Riley is in lockstep with me, and he is certainly going to be mentioning another team that he thinks is going to be able to do a solid job in the ACC as well. And then we're going to be talking about the state of USC with Vince Iwachukwu most likely being out for the entirety of the season. Very unfortunate situation with him collapsing during workouts during the offseason. So we are going to be diving into that on the podcast today. We did see a few players move from the D1 level to the non-D1 level. I'll recap those in a minute, but really not a lot of notes right now in college basketball. A lot of this is prep work, getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. As you guys know, bets are won during the season. A lot of them, they are won by a great preparation and just taking a look forward and being able to get a good read on these teams and being a little bit ahead of the bookmakers, which that is much easier said than done, and that is the goal of this podcast. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gunet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. We're just going to give you guys a quick little once over on some of these guys that they decided to move from the D1 level and go down to the non-D1 level, as we did see a few of those on Monday, and these are very easy for just how you're going to be able to gauge teams. And then in the final segment, we're going to be talking with Riley Davis over there at HeatCheckCBB, but Quest Harris, someone that just didn't contribute a lot for Sacred Heart a few seasons ago. He was able to average right around 2 points per contest as a little bit of a depth piece for them. He has decided that he is going to go to the non-D1 University of post-college, so you wish him absolutely nothing but the best. Same for Chase Lane. He was at Tarleton State last season, but for Tarleton State, he played as many minutes as Greg Peterson, so he has decided that he is going to be going down to Claflin College, so he's going down to the 91 level. This one was a little bit of a surprise, as Miles Baker was a former NEC all-freshman performer while he was in the NEC with Central Connecticut State. He had 8.5 points per contest and then 10.5 points per contest, transferred into Eastern Illinois, only played one game for the program, and now he has decided that he is going to be going down to an HBCU. He is going to be playing for Virginia State. I will say, legitimately, one of the better HBCUs that you're going to find, as he's pretty much a package deal for them, as Zach Newkirk, one of his teammates from Central Connecticut State, and a guy that was actually a starter for Central Connecticut State a few seasons ago, he has gone sort of out of favor with the current coaching regime, as they did see a little bit of a changeover with Patrick Sellers taking over the program a year or two ago. He averaged during the 2020-21 season 6.5 points, right around 2 assists per contest, and then last season that was down to more like 3 points per contest. Both of these guys have decided that they're going to be going down to Virginia State. And then the one guy that was a little bit of a surprise, that would be Darrell Roberts. He was playing over at Prairie View last season, and when I was at Prairie View, he was actually a really good performer. He put up 11 points, right around 2 assists per contest, shot 31.5% from three-point range as a 6'7", little bit of a combo player. He's going down to Arkansas Tech. That is actually a legitimately big blow for a Prairie View team that they had their worst season in quite a while, as they went just 8-19 last season, really the worst year for them in their last six, and first time under Byron Smith that they finished 500 or worse within the conference, so we shall see how that affects them. So we actually did see some relatively big news with Roberts going down, and I do think that you do want to be noting that with regards to Prairie View and up there in a SWAC in which the team that has won the SWAC, they have usually been a 16 seed, but these teams, if you heard my SWAC preview podcast a few weeks ago, have really been able to cover some games out of conference. That is something that you do want to note. So that's what we saw in college basketball on Monday. Now let's have a good chat with our good friend Riley Davis, take a look at some teams out there in the Big South, the MEAC, dive into USC and the ACC a little bit more as well. That's coming up next here on Cusco Seeps with myself, Craig Spears, and now a part of the Houston Cousin Podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in lovely Las Vegas, we're Jessica Seeps with myself, Greg Hughes, and now part of the VSIC Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this guest, as Riley Davis is doing absolutely amazing work over there at Heat Check CBB. He is a part of the Heat Check CBB Hangout as well, their rebranded podcast / show that you're going to be able to catch all throughout the college basketball season. I know that Riley did a great job on the Almanac as well. That was a little bit of a coming together between Heat Check CBB, Field of 68, along with our good friends over at the Three Man. We've taken a look at all 363 college basketball teams. I know that Riley did a great job with some of those mid-majors as well. And to be able to follow our good friend Riley on Twitter, that's at Riley_Davis and the number 3 on the back half of that. And Riley, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Hoops. It's been a while since I've got to come on the pod. Been pretty busy just getting the Almanac finished, but we've had it out for a week now, and that's definitely freed up the schedule a bit. So glad to talk some hoops.
Great to have you aboard to talk about that as well, because I know that you guys just put a lot of work into that. It's over 600,000 words, and I know you had to research some teams that maybe weren't on your radar coming into the season. And when it came to doing the Almanac, was there a team or two that stood out to you that either you felt more bullish on or less bullish on? Because I know you guys had a deep dive on darn near all these teams, and you guys did a great job interviewing coaches and so much more with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you ask any teams I'm more bullish on or less bullish on after all the interviews with coaches and all the research and everything. It's funny. I feel like almost every coach I talked to was awesome. Like, some great interviews, and it just makes you see like the type of charisma you have to be a coach at the D1 level, just because, you know, even teams that were ranked sub 300 on KenPom last year, like, believe me, I had to interview plenty of those. Like, even those coaches were so generous with their time and just had me buying into the vision, you know? So I feel like I didn't really leave really thinking of any team as like I'm lower on them than I would have thought. If anything, I found out that I'm pretty easy to win over when it comes to these coaches preaching like about their culture and everything, which is like, you know, it could be cliche or buzzwords or whatever, but that was really fun. But yeah, for those listening, who might not know, I covered both the Big South and the MEAC and loved doing both of those conferences. I'm based out of Durham, North Carolina. So that's sort of like my geographical region, which was fun to do. But the Big South, I think Longwood and UNC Asheville are the two clear-cut favorites, with Winthrop sort of in that tier. Winthrop has a good roster. They've got some point guard questions, but they're sort of always going to be in that tier until further notice, until Mark Prosser gives us a reason not to believe in them, just kind of what that program sustained, going back to when Pat Kelsey was there not too long ago. But aside from those big three, I'm pretty bullish on High Point. I think they have one of the top three players in the league in Zach Austin, who's a 6'6 forward who plays way bigger than he is. Like, Dude has spring-loaded hops, really good rim protector, especially coming over from the weak side. He's got a good-looking three-point shot, and they let him loose on a bunch of pick and pops. I think we could see him have a little bit more freedom in the offense this year as opposed to just like picking and popping, but maybe like putting it on the deck a little bit more, attacking closeouts more. I think when you factor in just the top-end talent they have with a guy like Zach Austin, their ability to defend at a pretty high level and how many turnovers they force, and they close out really well on shooters, I think that's a recipe to at least be a little bit dark of a dark horse there. I picked them fifth in the conference behind the big three, and then Gardner Webb, who's also been really consistent.
Yeah, Gardner Webb doesn't necessarily have the offensive firepower, but as I take a look at them, they were very good on defense. Actually, one of the best mid-majors in terms of defense last season, and went on the road and knocked off Georgia last year. But as we know, we need to put a little bit of an asterisk there because that was a team coached by Tom Crean. So
right,
yeah.
They had their moments. I mean, they almost. Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember who it was, gave someone a good game in the Big South tournament and had a chance to win on a free throw. They won against Campbell, like, because Campbell missed the free throw, and then they ended up losing to Winthrop in the Big South tournament. But yeah, Gardner Webb, they have, for as long as Tim Kraft has been there, they've never finished below 500 in conference play. Like, they're almost always top four in the league. So I kind of just penciled them in there to where it's like that defense gives them a high floor, even if they don't quite have the offensive firepower that you might have expected when they had like Jaheim Cornwall and Damarian Williams. Even they don't really have a guard like that necessarily, but yeah, I think their floor is pretty high. Have you looked at High Point at all, or have any thoughts on the Purple Panthers?
When it comes to High Point, I don't think that they're going to be a low point this year, because I think the big thing for them is that they're going to be relatively solid in the interior. Because when it comes to High Point, it is a team that's in a little bit of transition from last season, because as we know, Tubby Smith was actually coaching up High Point, and now he turns it over to Gigi Smith, which that allowed for not a lot of turnover, which is very important when you have a little bit of a coaching regime change. And it actually happened towards the back half of last year, final three or four games. But the guy that is absolutely the key, that'd be Zach Austin. This guy is awesome. 14.5 points, 8 boards, over 2.5 blocks per contest. And he's able to shoot threes at right around a 32.5% clip as a volume scorer as well. I do think that High Point has a chance to be able to do some nice things. I think the question is, what are you going to be able to put around Zach Austin? Because they also lose that top scorer in John Michael Wright. And replacing a guy like that in the Big South is tough.
Yeah, I agree. But oddly enough, though, he was their only transfer. And I think when you have like that kind of continuity at the mid-major level, especially like a league like the Big South, which usually is, you know, a 14, 15, sometimes 16 seed, that's huge to not lose anybody aside from John Michael. And they got a dude coming back, Emile Flowers. Gigi Smith described him as their best all-around player his freshman year. I think he tore his ACL heading into the season, but he's been cleared to go for practice. And at least when I talked to Gigi, he wasn't expecting him to necessarily like crack the starting lineup come November, but I would bet by January they'll have Emile Flowers ready to go, which just having a sort of extra bite of the apple when it comes to just putting guards out there when you're trying to replace the production of someone like John Michael Wright.
That is going to be absolutely massive. And I do think that the other conference that you did, as we do have Riley Davis, he does a great job over at HeatCheckCBB. He's currently joining me on the podcast in the MEAC. This was one that for me was relatively hard to gauge, because I felt like Morgan State was one of the biggest disappointments of any mid-major in all of college basketball last season, but they do return a lot of that talent from last season. Howard really did a good job of being able to ramp up their defense last season, but I do have some trepidations with that team as well, because when it does come to Howard, they do lose Wayne Bristle, which I do think that that's going to be a little bit of a loss for them. So I just take a look up and down at this MEAC, and I do think that it's going to be one of the more interesting conferences that we see in college basketball, especially with Coppin State. I think that that is going to be very big for them. You have transfers just all across the board that are going to be coming into this conference, which I do think that that is going to lead to this being a very strange and interesting conference. And as we know, NC Central, they're always there as well. But I think the big thing is, what are you going to be able to get out of Sam Sessions for this Coppin State team?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the MEAC by saying I think there's a chance Norfolk State goes undefeated. Last time I checked, Bart Torvik, he didn't have his rosters up to date, but they bring like everybody back. Like Joe Bryant's coming back for another year. Chris Bankston's coming back for another year. They lost one rotation piece from last year, one of their shooters, Jalen Hawkins. He's the only one who's not coming back, but they bring back Dana Tate, who close the season on a tear. And I think what Robert Jones has done there, where he's never finished lower than second in the league. I mean, as much as I love NC Central, and as much like I live 10 minutes away from Central, like I'll be pulling for them, but Norfolk State, they're going to be really tough to unseat, at least in the regular season. Who knows what happens in the conference tournament, but yeah, I think Norfolk State's going to run that league again. Then I put Central second, just again, Lavelle Moton, you have the pedigree. They have a really good front court with Chris Monroe back. They bring in Dan Oladapo, who's a Pitt transfer and played at Oakland before them, was an All Horizon League member a couple of years ago. And they bring Brendan Medley Bacon, who boomerangs back to the MEAC after spending a year at McNeese State. He made an All-MEAC team at Coppin State, I want to say 3 years ago. And of course, they have their All-League backcourt back with Eric Boone and Justin Wright. So that they're going to be really tough. But like you said, I love Howard. Every podcast I've done where I've talked about the Almanac, I've gassed up Howard. I think you hit the nail on the head with saying they definitely have some intriguing pieces there, even if there are question marks. I love Elijah Hawkins' game. For those folks out there who maybe are more casual fans, well, let's be honest, if you're listening to a college basketball podcast in October about mid and low majors, you're probably more than a casual fan. But make it a point to watch Elijah Hawkins and Howard. Steve Settle, who's a 6'10 wing, who's just got a smooth stroke. Like Howard is, I picked them third in the league, but it would not surprise me at all if they are able to win the MEAC tournament, even after I just gassed up Norfolk State just because of like the unpredictability of postseason basketball. So yeah, I love them. Coppin I'm not as high on, but that's more so like I think Sam Sessoms will put up numbers, but what Juan Dixon has done in 5 years at Coppin, where every year that offense is just nasty and just jacks up threes at a ungodly rate and bricks them at such a low percentage. I need Coppin to prove a little something before I go all in on them.
And then there's Delaware State, who is actually a very profitable team against the spread, but boy, that is not necessarily the world's greatest ordeal there. If you would have picked them to win the conference, I would have been a little bit surprised. As trying to be on the podcast, we do have Riley Davis. He does a great job over there at HeatCheckCBB. And when it comes to getting set for the upcoming college basketball season, those conferences are going to be a lot of fun. But taking a look at a little bit more of a team that many have expectations for, I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how USC responds to what we saw a few days ago, as apparently during the month of July in offseason workouts, Vince Iwachukwu, hopefully I said that correctly, I don't know if I am or not, but with that said, he pretty much collapsed during a workout. There was a lot going on there in terms of health issues. Sounds like he is going to be out indefinitely for the team. And I think that that is something really worth noting, because with the Pac-12, it's once again feeling like you've got four or five teams that are solid, maybe one team that could make the NIT or some sort of a postseason tournament like that, and then the rest of the teams are relatively terrible. And with USC now, they have to rely upon maybe someone like a Joshua Morgan down low, and that really hurts their not just depth, but overall how they're going to be playing down low.
Yeah, I think Iwachukwu is a pretty big loss, just because he looked like someone who could give you maybe like Diet Onyeka Okongwu type production. I think he's nowhere near as polished as Evan Mobley was necessarily, but he's the type of big who, doesn't it just feel like USC finds these bigs who are always sort of ranked in that 30-ish range, and they just tear it up there? Like Okongwu was in that similar range as Iwachukwu, like a fringe five-star kid, top 40-ish, but not seen as a surefire one and done. But Iwachukwu, really athletic shot blocker, high motor, high energy type guy. And it looked like from what I watched of his senior year that his offensive game was progressing a little bit more than just like a rim runner, catch and dunk type guy. He had a little bit of ability to work the mid post or to attack coming from the baseline. And so I think without him in the fold, you're going to see a lot more reliance on Kajani Wright. And they'll probably, I would guess, I mean, I'm not very high on Josh Morgan coming off of a 12-minute per game season, but Trey White, who's another, I want to say, top 50 or top 60 kid, 6'7 wing, I wouldn't be surprised to see Andy Enfield kind of go against what he normally does and play four guards around Kajani Wright, just because you have Boogie Ellis, Reese Dixon Waters, and Drew Peterson sort of locked in there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Trey White get that spot at the four and run those four guys around Kajani Wright.
I do think that it's going to be a fascination what USC does, because they've really been able to do a nice job of building themselves up the last few seasons, but typically they've had that rock solid big, and this season they certainly are not going to have that, as when you lose the Mobley brothers, that hurts you, but now losing Iwachukwu as well, that is certainly unfortunate for the kid for one, and two, a tough blow for USC. As Riley Davis of HeatCheckCBB is joining me on the podcast. And then Riley, you mentioned it a little bit before. You're a man that's out there in the great state of North Carolina. A few days ago, I did my ACC preview, and if you've got anyone other than Duke and North Carolina at 1 and 2, you let me know, because that would be quite a shock. But I really think the question is, Who do you think is number three in this conference? Because I personally lean towards Florida State, just with all the depth that they bring in, just with the way that Leonard Hamilton has been able to coach up his teams in general. You've got so much versatility. I think that that's going to be tough for a lot of teams in the ACC to go up against. And I legitimately think we could see like eight teams from the ACC make the NCAA tournament, even a team like a Wake Forest. But who did you have at number three in terms of the ACC? Or maybe it's a 3A, 3B, because I do think that it's a good debate after the top two.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think like I keep flip-flopping back and forth between Florida State and Virginia. I love both of those teams, aside from last year, really have been just models of consistency in the ACC, where you have, I mean, Tony Bennett was for years a guaranteed top 10 defense, guaranteed top four finish, oftentimes top one finish in the ACC. And Hamilton himself was also a guaranteed top four finish, was always going to be right in that 25-ish range on defense, and usually kind of in a similar range on offense too. And I really like Matthew Cleveland. I think that dude's a dark horse ACC player of the year contender. I know it's will be a little bit tough just because Florida State tends to be a little more egalitarian in their scoring approach. So you probably won't see him put up more than like 14, 15 points a game, but who knows? Maybe Hamilton lets him loose a little bit more and we see a 16 or 17 point per game type average. Just his percentage at the rim last year, shot close to 70% and just got to the hoop at will last year. Just needs a little bit more reliability from his jumper. But I like Cam Fletcher too. He just is a good rangy wing, good fit for what Hamilton likes to do. Pretty intrigued by Baba Miller and just seeing, again, Hamilton's always going to have those lengthy dudes in the front court who he just cycles in. The point guard questions around Florida State are the only things that are kind of holding me back from putting them at number three. Virginia, I really love Reese Beekman. I think this is kind of the year where it all comes together for him. And I think Ben Vanderplas was exactly what they needed as far as that four-man who's going to be able to pick and pop and allow Bennett to run those blocker mover type sets, give them that much-needed shooting they lacked last year. Jaden Carter, also a good player. Proved last year he could get it done in the ACC.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with Virginia because I put them at number four. I put Florida State at number three just because I do think that the sheer athleticism is there for Virginia, one of the best coach teams in all of college basketball. And now that most of these guys have another year under the system because they were a new look bunch after they lost so many guys from not just a title team, but the year after as well. I think that is going to be critical, just like it is always critical that we get great guests on this podcast. And Riley, you always check that box. You do amazing work over there at Heat Check CBB. You are very busy getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. So love to get people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Riley_Davis3. And you can hear me almost weekly on the Heat Check Hangout podcast. We have a lot of fun doing and have a nice little video component as well. And you can read my written work every Monday for the Field of 68 newsletter, Field of 68 Daily. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see a subscribe link for that. If you don't already subscribe, give us that subscription. Give us those clicks. But thanks again, as always, for having me on, Greg. Appreciate you.
Always appreciate Riley and all that he brings to the table. Does an amazing job taking a look at the great game of college basketball. And hey, he lives out there in the great state of North Carolina, and us out there in the North Carolina know a thing or two about very good college basketball. And Riley, he checks that box, always does a nice job whenever he joins this podcast. So big thanks to Riley for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, not part of the Visa Family Podcast. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNR41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, let's find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, very much appreciated from there. You're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And I am coming at you guys every single day on this podcast during the offseason news and notes of college basketball. And we've got 6 conference previews left, all pretty much big bomber conferences. Those are going to be coming your way the next few weeks to get you guys set for the upcoming season. Then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you guys once again tomorrow as we get closer and closer to the upcoming college basketball season. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.